Welcome to the NWAETC Project Echo. I'm Kent Unruh. I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Brian Wood, our medical director, to introduce our guest.
Well, it's a pleasure to have Jennifer Mangiani back for a follow-up talk on motivational interviewing. Jennifer's a part of our expert panel here, so I'm sure you all have gotten to know her well. And Jennifer's also a case manager and social worker in our Madison clinic. And I will turn it over to Jennifer.
Thanks, Brian. So we're back again talking about motivational interviewing. Some of you might remember part one that happened in November. During that one, Brian and I did a live role play, and for this one, there's a recorded role play that we'll get to in just a minute, but wanted to go and review a few things just as we get started here. So the first slide I wanted to show is what IMS Health Data is calling the leaky bucket. It's reminded me a lot of the HIV cascade, which is why I put it up. It's taken from drug stores, and it shows the data of every 100 prescriptions, just how that filters down in terms of how the patients are taking them correctly and how often they're refilled correctly. So kind of an interesting thing to note that out of 100 prescriptions, only 15 to 20 are actually taken and then refilled as prescribed. It's generally accepted, though, that between 20 and 50% of patients have an adherence issue. And I think that this is definitely an area that is ripe for more exploration in terms of how to fix the problem. There are any number of studies, I think, that document that there is a problem. There's been a lot of studies that try and address this and try and find what I think is everyone is looking for, sort of a magic bullet to make an impact here. And it's been challenging. But one of the things that has been shown to be effective is motivational interviewing, and which is one of the reasons I think that we're talking about it quite a bit here. Interesting to note that I think as providers, you can have a fabulous relationship with your patient and they can really like you a lot, but really how you communicate about medication makes a huge difference, with some studies showing up to 19% risk, higher risk of non-adherence if the communication goes awry. So when you're setting the stage to talk about adherence and heart, it's never too soon and it's never too late, I think, to kind of set the stage and to refocus the conversation. I like to sit down with folks that have never taken any ARTs and really talk up sort of how this works. So, you know, before they even have the prescription in hand, to say, you know, once you start taking these medications, you're going to be getting a lot of questions about how well that's going and how many doses you're missing. And it might seem like there's one correct answer for that, and that what we want you to say is, yes, of course, I'm taking them all the time, and I never miss any doses. And what I tell people is that it's impossible for us to help you. A lot of people have problems with adherence and really getting into the rhythm of taking their medications, and it's not really possible for us to help you strategize about how to fix those problems unless you know, you let us in and you let us know what's going on. And for patients that have been taking their meds for 20 years, there's nothing to say that you can't readdress this. You might think, well, I get the same answer every time I ask, but it can be useful to try and ask the question a little differently and to really acknowledge that people do have, you know, some pill burden issues. They're just really tired of taking medications, and that you've spoken to people or know about people that really struggle with that, and what has been this person's experience with that. So just a really brief review of motivational interviewing before we roll the tape. You definitely want to be using open-ended questions. It can be hard to get into a rhythm of doing that. I've got some suggestions a couple slides later about just some conversation openers for that. Affirmations being just providing encouragement when things have gone right. You know, if you've got someone who's been really struggling with adherence forever, but they did have a year or 6 months in there when they really felt like they were adherent. Well, what happened, you know, during that period of time? A lot of folks perceive themselves as failed changers, and I think genuine affirmations about things that go well can really help the person rethink about themselves and their ability to change. Reflective listening helps kind of keep the conversation moving along. It's a way to not only let the patient know that you heard them, but also help them go deeper. If you can hear the message underneath the words that they're using, that can be super helpful. And then summaries are really the meat of motivational interviewing. It's you helping the patient hear the discrepancy between where they want to be and where they are right now, and really highlighting and having them hear from you, you know, exactly repeating back what they've said. So we'll go down to the video. I'll just let you know that this is not Hollywood style, and certainly I could have pre-scripted this, and you would have had a really flat presentation. So you'll hear some errors in here, and I think it's just the way it goes. Plus, it's always a little bit more contrived when you're talking to somebody who's not actually a patient. But let's roll it, and we'll see how it goes. Corey, it's so good to see you. I'm really glad you made it in for your visit today. I just wanted to touch base with you for a minute. Do you have time?
I do.
I wanted to check in about how it's going with taking your HIV medications.
I think it's going well. I feel good.
Oh, good. And I know a lot of patients struggle with taking medications and taking them regularly, and I ask, you know, I know a lot of nosy questions about medications, but I know for a lot of people they're missing doses, and I wanted to know when you're missing doses, kind of what's going on with you?
Mostly when I miss a dose, it's because it's just been a really busy day and I just completely forget.
Mm-hmm. And about how many doses would you say you miss in a given week?
Three to four. Yeah.
So you're taking them anywhere from 3 days a week to 5 days a week, sounds like.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And on the days that you're taking them, what's going well on those days?
I feel like on those days I have a chance to just think about myself and my health more than on the days that I don't take them. I'm really busy. I'm a single parent of three kids, and I work, and I just life is really busy. And on the days I miss doses, it's just crazy, and I just don't even think about it.
So on the days that you're being successful with taking your medications, it sounds like your day is more calm, you're feeling more able to focus on yourself, and maybe the days when you're having trouble, things are feeling maybe a little bit out of control and very busy.
Yeah.
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, like how interested are you in taking your medications more consistently? 1 would be very interested, 1 would be not interested at all, and 10 would be extremely interested.
Well, you know, I guess the thing that makes me want to take my medications more is just that my doctor tells me that I should be taking my medications more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my health has been good. It's a lot better than it was a couple of years ago, and I feel good. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like what I'm doing right now is pretty good. I mean, you know, I'm taking them, and I feel good.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
So you had mentioned the scale, and I would say, like, you know, like a 5. I'm right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds on one hand, you are interested in taking your medications, but maybe not convinced that you need to take them every day. And on the other hand, too, your life is very busy, and you're not really certain that you can focus on that right now.
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And that you're sort of kind of in the middle of the road about being interested in taking them more consistently.
Yes.
So I'm curious, why didn't you say that you were less interested in taking them? Why aren't you more closer to a 2 or a 1?
Well, I want to be healthy, and you know, I come see the doctor, and the doctor talks about these medications all the time, and I have felt not well, mm-hmm, before related to my HIV, and so that's why I know it's important, you know. So that's why I said middle and not a 1 or a 2. I know it's important. A lot of things are important, though, mm-hmm, and those things sometimes they're more important to me on any given day
than being able to focus on your medications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we finish up just making an appointment, I think, to talk more about the issues that she's raising. So it's a good thing, I think, we've all seen patients like this where they don't see the direct benefit of taking the medication necessarily, and without that sort of immediate feedback, it's hard for them to really develop a strong will to take meds regularly. So definitely a common issue. So how do we start these conversations? These are kind of some openers, I think, that are really easy to use. They work across the board, whether patients are newly starting HART or have been on HART for quite a while. Just a good way to open up the conversation.
So let's say you've started down this path and you're not really sure how to develop the discrepancy between where the patient wants to be and where they are now. And these are some just easy things to keep the conversation going, to keep the patient talking about, you know, where do I want to be? What would put me in a better place where I could take my medications more regularly? And then the last thing I want to talk about that I don't think we talk about a whole lot is it can be intimidating to get to a point in a conversation with a patient where they're talking about sort of the nuts and bolts of what's gone wrong with their adherence. They're at the bathhouse 3 to 4 nights a week, and you're thinking, I've never been to a bathhouse. I'm not really sure how to address this as an adherence issue. How do you remember to take your meds when you're at a bathhouse? And there are little tricks, I think, to kind of know and sort of demystifying it. And you do always know more than you think you know. You might not have been to a bathhouse, but odds are good that you've been to a bar, likely. And most of us know that, you know, you might not take your full wallet into a bar. You might just tuck some cash or a credit card. But you almost never leave the home without your keys, which is why we talk about the keychain pill holder that folks can use kind of successfully as they're headed out and about. And people can be reluctant to talk to you about that. You know, if they're hooking up with someone different every night and that's really their barrier to adherence, talk through that. It's not a time to be judging sort of what someone is doing in their off time. You know, leaving a dose in a location that they go to a lot. You know, the phone alarms are pretty well studied, as are the text messages. Some studies have shown better or more success with those, but for some patients they work really well. And also talking about stigma and discovery, I wouldn't ever discount this as a reason that someone's not taking their medications. I worked with a woman who was newly diagnosed. She was from a very small African community, African-born woman, and she really did not want her daughter to know that she had HIV. And so she was just paralyzed. She didn't even want to pick up the prescription because she didn't want it in the house so that the daughter could discover it. So, you know, we talk about, you know, where can you hide the meds, or are there other bottles that you can put those meds in? We certainly don't want the daughter mistaking a vitamin that's actually an HIV medication, but is there something similar to that that we can do that you don't think that the person that you're living with would really poke around in too much? And then just talking through, you know, okay, so let's say you're out and you don't really want anyone to know your HIV status. How do you get some privacy to take the medication, or how do you do it in a way that minimizes questions about what you're doing? And of course, the one of the keys, I think, is whenever folks have a routine to take medications, that can definitely help. So just wanted to open it up for questions. I have some resources on the next slide just around different ways to get training. There's another in-person training here in the Seattle area for motivational interviewing, and then a link for an online training and a book that's well regarded.